Well, good morning. Good to see everybody out here at the house of the Lord this morning. And it's going to be I hope it'll be a real good lesson today. Good encouraging and helpful. Hopefully give some clarity on some areas of confusion in people's lives. And be a real help today. The Word of God will do that every time, if you'll allow it to. But we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5 once again, and we finished up last week with looking at the testimony and the witness of God about His Son and what He had to say. And if you're going to get anywhere with God, you'll come through His Son. No question about that. And here's the thing though, if you come through His Son, there's some things that were guaranteed, Jesse. There's assurance, there's peace, there's comfort, there's hope. All those things come, but they only come through His Son. See, the world we live in today, everybody's looking for all those things in all these different places. But there's only one place to find that. And that's a person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll ever get a hold of that, it makes life so much better. So much easier. I'm not saying life's smooth sailing. We're going to have tribulations. You can be assured of that, right? The Scripture's plain about that. Job said, man's born of woman's a few days full of trouble. You can be assured, you name the name of Christ, you'll have tribulation. But if you want to have a good, victorious Christian life, which you can enjoy this thing as a Christian. Yes, right. You can have hard circumstances, but still enjoy being a Christian. You can do that. The Apostle Paul, I don't know anybody now that has it as bad as he had it, but I don't know anybody now that enjoyed it as much as he enjoyed it. Why could he do that? Because he knew who he was trusting. Right? I know whom I've believed. Right? I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know those things. And so today, that's what we're going to start dealing with is our certainty in this thing of salvation. And so we're going to be dealing heavily in chapter 5, verse 13 today. We'll pick up the reading. We'll read down through verse 15. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So I want you to just notice how certain we can be about some things here that it's teaching us in Scripture. There's some things that we can know that we know that we know. You know, we say that, and sometimes it becomes just something we say. But it ought not be something we just say. It ought to be something that we all here can experience and accept and just understand the truths of God's Word. And what happens is people take feelings instead of faith. They care more about how they feel in the moment than the faith that they've placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They care more about the circumstances around them than what the Word of God says. But when you get those things in the right order, you can be certain about some things. And so let's look at verse 13 here. The first part of the verse, I want you to notice the audience that it's talking to. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." So first off, this is not talking to unbelievers. This is not talking to people in other religions. It's not talking to people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can have no certainty. But it's talking to people that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's who He's directing this to. It says, "These things have I written to them." To them. That's who it's to. It's written unto believers. And so notice the next part of the verse. He says, "That ye may know that ye have eternal life." So these people today that say, "Well, you can't know." Well, they are literally denying the Word of God. They are saying that God is wrong. So I don't know how they get that. I don't understand how you can take the Scripture and prove against itself. You can't. It don't work. God said that you may know. that you have, that's present tense, eternal life. So how many of you today believe that we can know that we have eternal life? Right now, as we speak, we can know that we have eternal life. It's not something I've got to wait till I die to find out. You don't have to wait. If you're here today and you're debating this in your mind, today, let today be the day that you put that out of your mind. It does not have to be a debate. In fact, your salvation shouldn't be up for debate. I mean, there's nothing to debate about it. It's either you have the Son, as we just read, or you don't. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that don't have Him don't have life. That's what we just finished. So there's certainty in this thing. So here's the purpose. He says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So that's the audience. That ye may know that you have eternal life. That's the purpose he's writing. He said, I want, when you get done with this letter, these five chapters, he said, I want you to come down to the conclusion that ye know that you are right with the Lord. That you have eternal life. That's the goal of what he's saying. He says, I want you to know that you may know that you have eternal life. And God wants believers to be assured in their salvation. Would you agree with that? He does not want you living a wishy-washy life. He don't want you to wake up today and think, am I saved today? I was saved yesterday, but am I saved today? But you understand, if you're in this thing for very long, you'll talk to people that are like that. And in fact, I'm not so naive to think that there's not people here like that today. We got a big crowd in here this morning. And I imagine there's people sitting right here under the sound of my voice that maybe the reason that you don't participate, maybe the reason your Christian life's not where it should be, maybe the reason your walk with Christ is not where it should be is because you're just not sure. That's a real thing. And if you're in this thing long enough, I guarantee that every person in here has to deal with this. You see, because when you get saved, you know, I remember how it was. I got saved and I was excited about it. I went to school the next day, started telling people about it. But then over time, what happens is not everybody immediately knows everything. I don't know if you realize that. But I was young when I got saved, and so you go out and start telling people about it. Well, then you're confronted with all these things, sins, circumstances, problems, and you're not embedded in the Scripture. And so then what happens, you get confused. And so I've had periods of time that I've been confused in my life. But it's never been a confusion on God's part. It's always been on my part. And so where do you find that assurance? You find it in the Word of God. That's where I've always been able to find assurance, is in the Word of God when I'm confused. I have to go back to what He says. But we're dealing with the certain. He does not want you to live a life of fear. In fact, 1 John teaches us back in chapter 4, verse 18, fear hath what? Torment. If you live in constant fear, Brother Donnie, that you're in and out, or I don't know if I'm in, don't know if I was ever right, how can you have any victory in this Christian life like that? You can't. There's none to be had. It'd be a miserable life, wouldn't it? So that's why we're here on a Sunday morning. That's why we're in Sunday school. That's why we have a Word of God. That's why we have preaching that's clear, that teaches us the Word of God. So that you may know. That's why John wrote, that you may know. So God wants us to know. He's not interested in us being confused. 1 Corinthians 14:33 teaches us, for God is not the author of confusion. He's truth. Remember, we already studied that the Spirit's truth, God's truth, the Son's truth, all those are truth. They're not interested in false, not interested in confusion. They want it to be straight. They want your life to run straight from start to finish. They want you to be strong. But how do we do that? Well, let's see. So He desires us, in fact, in the book of 1 John, if you remember when we started it, He says, verse number 4, He said, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full. If you don't know if you're saved, you reckon you can have much joy? You see what I'm saying? That it don't even make sense. He said He's the God of peace. There's the peace of God. We can have peace with God. If you don't know, how can you have that? You follow what I'm saying? You have to come to a point in your life that you know, that you're not just guessing, that you're not just hoping, that you're not wondering. He desires us to be full of joy, full of peace, all those things. And He wants us to live in victory and have the same confidence that the apostles had, same confidence as John when he's writing, the same confidence that the apostle Paul had when he wrote his scripture. Do you find any place where he writes where he's concerned about whether he's saved or not? I don't find that one place. Not one place do I find that. But you know what was different about the Apostle Paul than me or you? When he got born again, what did he already have in his mind? He had the Word of God embedded in him. He's different than you or I. See, a lot of people now get born again, they know the gospel, but that's the limits of the scripture that they know. And you see how easy it is to get somebody confused. The Apostle Paul had been hard to... You or I couldn't confuse the Apostle Paul. We don't know enough. Folks, he was special. And God chose him for that purpose. But he's the one that teaches us what we're supposed to do. God used him to teach us. And so that's why we can learn so much from his life. But you can't live victoriously, you can't live joyfully, you can't live peaceably, you can't live any of those ways if you're not confident in your salvation. And I personally believe there's two different ways that people live in this realm. There's people that have had an experience, but they never have really figured out if it was real. And therefore, they never go anywhere for God. They never get off the ground, so to speak. Maybe they made a profession, but they come in, they sit in church, and they're here, Kim, but that's the limits of it. If they're even that. How many people do you talk to that says, "Oh, I got saved"? Me and Eli was at Potter's yesterday and talking to a young man back on the lumber yard, and... You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious from the way he talked. He's lived a rough life. But he says, "Oh, I've been saved since I was 12. Were you going to church?" "Well, I'm not." You see what I'm saying? Not accomplishing anything for God. But then there's others on the other side of that, that same living in that same uncertain. Now, he says he was, you know, certain. But there's those that I believe if you know that you know you're saved, I think there's something on the inside that just changes you. And you can't help but want the things of God. But then there's the other side of that. There's people that made a profession, Brother Jerry, that constantly feel like they're continually trying to earn it. And they're having to work to keep it. And you know those people too. And so they're never sure either. It's just constant. And that's misery. There's no peace in that. There's no joy to be found in that. But I feel like I know people in both of those courts. Some would say, "Well, I got saved when I was 12 or 10 or 20, whatever, but I've not done anything since." And if you talk to them for 5 minutes, you can talk them out of it because they don't know any better. But then you've got the other ones who said they got saved, Creston, and they're uncertain, but they're in it all the time, and they're working, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they've got to do this and they got to do that, and I got to do this, I got to do this, and oh my goodness, if I do that, I'm out. And that's their life. And there's no peace in that. So, do you find yourself in one of these places today? I don't know. I don't know where you stand, but neither place has any assurance, and neither place, even though the one is constantly working and trying and trying and trying, but Creston, they're trying for the wrong reason. They're trying to earn their favor with God, and you can never do that. Favor was earned at Calvary. That's where we get our favor. It's we love Him, as we've already said in 1 John. We love Him because He first loved us. We do what we do because He did what He did. It's not that we have to do. I don't have to stand up here and teach to be saved. Kevin, you don't have to stand up here and preach. Brother Delmer, you don't do that to be saved. Don't have to. I'm not trying to be saved. We're just there. If you're saved, you've already arrived, already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, it's as though my citizenship is there. I'm already there. I'm already a son. I don't have to work to be a son. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's what he said, now. I'm not waiting to find out. But so many people live in this realm of, I don't know. I just don't know. You do not have to feel that way. You do not have to live that way. And I thank God that we don't have to be that way. But either way is no good. These lives are miserable. They're unhealthy. You talk about having a heart attack, living that way, give you one. That's unhealthy, folks, just to constantly work. When you close your eyes at night, I mean, are you sitting there thinking, am I saved or not? I don't think. When I lay my head at night, that is not. I might be thinking about, man, what's going on in my garage tomorrow? Is the contractor going to show up? I mean, my mind might be going 40 miles a minute, but Kevin, that's not, I'm not sitting there thinking, Lord, am I saved? Just not. I got that said a long time ago. Do I still, you know, does the devil still come by and try to say stuff? I mean, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what I do? Now I've got to a point in my life, I'm like, well, the Bible says this, and I've done this, and the Holy Ghost has met with me many, many times, and I've got a life that I want to please the Lord with. And I know that He's done something in me. Kristen, I just know it. I've seen it over the years. Have I messed up? Man, I've messed up bad at times. But God has been there at every step of the way. But either way, if you're in that camp, you can't get anything done for God. Your motivation is obligation, not of love. So both of those errors, and there may be more, I don't know. But both of those errors stem from not knowing what the Scripture says. It's an ignorance of the Word of God, Jordan. If you're here today and you don't know if you're saved, but you've made a profession, the chances are you probably do err not knowing the Scriptures. You don't know enough about what God says about it. When you figure out what He says about it and you believe what He says about it, it's easy to know. It's easy to know at that point, but you have to know what He says. And we're going to look at what He says here in just a bit. We'll get there, Lord willing. But so here's the question. Here's the big question, right? How do you know that you have eternal life? How do you know? That's a fair question. Would you not? Evidently John thought it a very fair question, because he answered it. It must have been a question that was prevalent to those people, because at the end of his book, if you ever want somebody to remember something, you know when you put it? You put it right at the end. It's either how it starts or how it ends. And he starts with telling you about Christ and telling you about the witness of Christ and that he's seen him and his hands have handled him and he's laid his eyes on him and that you can be full of joy. And then he ends it with knowing you're saved. These things are quite important in the Christian life. Very important. That's what he wants you to know. He wants you to know those things. And then he packs this book, he just chalks it full with ways that you can absolutely know. That's what this book's about. We've come to the very end of it, and it's been a while. But when you come to the summation of 1 John, Brother Creston, he says, I want you to be certain in me. That's what he's telling us. So how do you know? He says, John says it this way. He says, these things have I written unto you. This is how you can know. These things have I written unto you. And now we've looked at 1 John piece by piece by piece. I mean, we broke it down verse after verse after verse. But now we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it as a book as a whole as we come to this thing. And I've got 12 things that John said. You can know. You want to know, you line yourself up here. Here's your list of 12. That's a number of witness, I think, anyway. There's 12 of them. Now, you can break it down even farther if you want to, but I've listed them as 12. And we're going to go through them one by one. We're going to just look straight at 1 John, what he said. And what you can do is you do this in your own time. You take your life and you line it up to what God says. And then that's how you know. If you're against what God says, then you know that you ain't right. But if your life lines up with what God says, then you can know that you're right. That's pretty simple, right? I think it is. Maybe it's not to everybody else, but it is to me. I really think it's that simple. I believe you can know. I believe the Scripture's plain about it. You can know. Y'all ready to get started? Let's get started. So here's how we start. Here's the first thing. Here's the first question that I wrote down. Is how do you esteem God's Word? What do you think about the Word of God? You say, well, why is that important? We're going to stay in 1 John. Keep your Bibles open. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 3 and 4. We're going to just flip through the book, okay? First, because this, he said these things, here's the things that he's written. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, and hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Plain, right? Plain. Look at chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24, just the first line of that. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. You want to know if you're right with God? What do you think of the Scripture? Not just what do you think about it, but how does it affect your life? How does it impact you? Does it change and motivate the way that you live? That's what John's talking about. Do you keep it? If you keep something, Nathaniel, if I give you something and I say, Nathaniel, this is special to me, you keep it. That's more than you just putting, if I gave you a gun that I liked real well and I told you I was going to be gone for 10 years, I need you to keep this thing. And I want it to be in as good a condition when I come back as it was when I gave it to you. It's precious to me. Would you agree that this Word is precious to God? But He's gave it to us for our keeping. Precious. That's why we don't alter it. That's why we don't change it. But if I did that, you know, you wouldn't just put it up somewhere and not touch it. You'd be checking on it ever so often. Make sure that something hadn't got to it. Make sure it wasn't rusting away. All those things. Take care of it. Part of keeping something is caring for it. It's loving it. Appreciating it. Making sure that you understand that it's precious. Folks, this book is precious. And to every believer, it better be precious because this is how you got born again. If not for the Word of God, you would not be saved. He is the Word. So how do you esteem God's Word? Second question, how do you love the brethren? Chapter 2, verse 9 says this. He says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Is it getting pretty clear? Verse 17. Getting out of sync. Yeah, verse 17. It says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You understand how this is important? Do you love the brethren? That's a question that John says is important. What do you think of your brethren? Do you love them? Or do you despise coming to a place like this where all they talk about is the Lord? There's people like that. There's people out there that would claim they're saved, Brother Kim, and they would just... But if you get around them, you start talking about the Lord, man, they gone. They don't like the brethren. If you don't like the brethren, according to 1 John, you don't love them, you answer that question. What's he say about it? So the Word of God, the brethren. There's your two, that's your two ways of looking at it. Number three, are you continuing in your faith? Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Are you staying with the stuff? Are you continuing in the way that God started you on? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. Are you progressing in the faith? Are you continually moving? I'm not saying there won't be times that you get hit by a blow and it knocks you backwards. There may be times, there may be months, there may be years that you feel like you're not accomplishing anything. You're not getting anywhere. Maybe you're dealing with sins in your life and God's trying to grow you and teach you things. Or there may be times of sickness and circumstances that come by and God's got you in a valley for a reason. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. But if you step back and look at your life as a whole from the time you started as a Christian to now, wherever you're at, have you went up or have you went down? That's the question you're asking. Are you moving on? Are you staying with what you started? That's what he's asking. Are you continuing? God did not save anybody just to leave them where they were at.
Amen.
He didn't save nobody and say, you just stay on this plane right here. Just stay right there where you're at, and that's good. No. He that hath begun a good work, and you will perform it. He's confident of that thing, he said. He's going to do a work. Folks, he does a work. I've seen it too many times for me to decide, no, he don't do nothing.
Right.
It works. Now, here's the thing. Don't get caught up on the words and get confused to say you've got to progress to be saved. We're not talking about getting saved. We're not talking about earning this. This is all after the fact. You're looking at what did. Here's the evidence. The evidence is the right word. Evidence of what something has already occurred. That's what we're talking. All we're doing is comparing. We're not saying you got to do all this, and in order to be saved, I got to love my brother. And in order to be saved, I've got to move up in the faith. In order to be saved, I've got to read my word. No. That's not. That'll never get you anywhere. That's bondage. Bondage. We're aiming for freedom, liberty. This is a liberating way. Folks, that's where we're supposed to be. So make sure that in all of this that we're looking at, it is not to gain salvation. It's to look at yourself and say, I had a profession 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, brother.
Where am I at since then? Does my life since then look different than it did then?
Right.
And is it going in the right direction? Would you all agree that's what he's talking about?
Amen.
I hope so. All right. And so then that leads into the next question. What does your life look like? Chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Guess what? Somebody that says they're saved, that esteems the word of God, that loves his brethren, that does all these things, and their life looks right. That's a good indication right there that they got something right.
Yes.
Folks, your life is supposed to look like Christ, and it's expected. Yes. It should come natural to a degree. We've still got a flesh. Paul talked about it, right? It's still a warfare. But we're to continue in this thing, and it's expected. And your life ought to look like this. If you're righteous on the inside, it ought to come out. That's what he's saying. What does your life look like? Next question. This is number five. Are you purifying yourself? Are you purifying yourself? You say, well, I thought that was God's job. Well, it's also your job. Chapter 3, verse 2 says this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And here's the big thing. Verse 3. Everybody likes to leave this one off, though. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him doth what? Purifieth himself. Even as He is pure. You know how you can know that you're saved? You want to look like Christ.
Yes, sir.
You want your life to look like Him. That's why it says, even as He is pure. That's what salvation does to somebody. You can't have a heart cleansed without it wanting to cleanse the rest of you. You see, He cleans you up from the inside out. And once you get Him down on the inside, He wants to come out. You can't help it. That's just part of being born again. He does that. So are you purifying yourself? Are you continually looking at God? All these things add together. I mean, this is one message. You all understand that, right? It's all the same thing. And so am I loving the brethren right? Am I esteeming God's Word right? And you know what happens when you understand that you're not? You want to fix it.
Yes, sir.
It's a constant, man. I know I want to do better. I want to be more like Christ. Are you purifying yourself? Are you laying aside the sins that the Holy Ghost teaches you about? It says you need rid of that.
Yes.
Folks, that's what it's talking about. Are you purifying yourself? And then here's a question that sort of ties in as well. Are you living in continual sin? Continual sin. That's a big question, isn't it? Chapter 3, verse 6. It says, whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him. Hath not seen Him, it says, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Does that mean you're going to be sinless? No. Chapter 1, chapter 2 has already taught us that. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So that's talking about the person on the inside cannot sin, but at the same time, the person on the outside cannot continue in sin. In this, here's the big thing, right? Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see how all this just meshes together? You can look at every aspect of your life and determine, am I saved? Is what I said, is what I professed, was it real? Did it really happen? So are you living in continual sin? If so... If the Holy Ghost is not doing a work in you, not trying to get you out of that mess, if it's not just a short-term thing, if God's not pulling you out of that, if it doesn't bother you to just stay in it, live in it day in, day out, you better check up. You can't stay there, I promise. I know. I know from personal experience you can't stay there. You can't stay there. Are you living in continual sin? Number 7, here's a biggie. Is your faith in Christ or is it in something else? See, a lot of people have more faith in what they did, in their prayer, in their tears, in the preacher, in their works, you just name it, whatever it may be, than they do in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't ever be right with God if your faith is in something besides Christ. That's where your faith has to be. So chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." And then chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth also him that is begotten of Him." And he goes on, look on down there in verse, we're going to skip on down to verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." See, our faith is what overcomes, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Your faith has to be in Christ. If your faith's in any other thing, that's not salvation. See, there's not salvation in any other. He's the only one you can be saved through. And he's the only one who can do the saving. And then, number 8, does the Spirit dwell in you? Does the Holy Ghost dwell in you? Back to chapter 3, verse 24. We already read the first part. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." And the latter part says, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." He says that's the way you can know. It's through the Holy Ghost that lives in you. Has the Holy Ghost ever done anything in your life? Has he ever spoke to you? Has he ever corrected something in your life? Has he ever helped you? Has he ever come by and put his arms around you and just said, "Just a reminder, I love you. I died for you." That's good times. I appreciate those times, don't you? Chapter 4, verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." And then chapter 5, verse 10, we looked at just a week or two ago. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself." In himself. Folks, you can know. You can know. Do you have the Spirit of God? Does he dwell in you? Here's another big one. A lot of these are big ones. Number 9, will you accept truth? That's a big one. That's a big one. Chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God does what? Heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby," let's see, I got sidetracked again. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." If you're of God, you know what you'll do? You will hear truth. You see, I believe Jesus said the Holy Ghost would guide us into all truth. So if you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, he's going to help you accept truth. That's part of his job, is to guide you to the truth. And you better believe he knows the truth. He knows it. The question is, what will you do with truth? What do you do when presented with the truth? When you've been going this way for however long, some of you have come from different churches, different denominations. Some of you, different kind of Baptist, whatever, all across the room. But what's happened in your life is God has presented you with truth. And you being here and us looking at the truth and you accepting it is a real good indication that God's doing a work in you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying every church is wrong and we're the only ones. That's not what I'm getting at. But here at Amazing Grace, we believe in the Word of God.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get across, is the truth of God's Word. And if you're here and you're interested in truth, that's a good indication. But if when presented with the truth, if you're not willing to conform to it, if you look at it and say, I don't want that. Not a good indication, somebody. Not a good indication. You better check up.
Because I don't know about you, but if I'm wrong, if I err anywhere in the Scripture, guess what? I want to know it. I want to know it. I don't care. I mean, I love my mom and dad, and they're here, and they brought me here as a kid. But if they taught me wrong, I want to know. I don't care who it chaps. I mean that. Like, if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in that anymore. I don't care. If you hate me because I'm going after truth, you just have to hate me. I'm interested in being right with the Lord. Not just being right for right's sake. Not interested in that. I don't care. I'm not in this to just debate and be mad and fuss and tell you how you're wrong and I'm right or vice versa. I don't care about none of that. I just want to be right with the Lord. That's what I want to be. So will you accept truth? We got three more, and I'll get through them real quick. Here's the question. We already said brethren, right? How do you stay, you know, how do you love your brethren? But not just brethren, just in general. How do you love others? Those who might be on the outside. Might not be in yet. Do you love others? Chapter 4, verse 7. I've apparently run out of time. I'm sorry. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then we'll read verse 10 because it's so good. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Folks, you look at your love for others. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in Him. How's your love? Just how's your love for others in general? Do you love saints? Do you love sinners? You ought to love them all. Just ought to love them. Ought to love them. So do you love others? Number 11. Are you willing to confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? When presented with persecution, are you willing to stand up and say, I choose Christ? That's a hard one. And it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. But chapter 4, verse 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Are you willing to profess Christ? You see, I don't have much confidence in a salvation when they're not willing to make an open profession. You say you're backward, you say all that stuff. Christ was openly put to shame for every one of us. And for us to be closet Christians, there ain't nobody threatening us to kill us. Ain't nobody waiting outside our church. And for you to sit here and in this place, you talked about this being a safe place. If you can't stand up in this place and profess Christ, what's going to happen out there when you're presented with it? I'm just saying, he said, whosoever confesseth. Are you willing to confess it? Cough it up. Are you willing to? That's what I'm saying. We ought to be willing to. There really may come a day. It is elsewhere. Amen. That you're held at gunpoint. Knife point. Noose. I don't know what it may come to. Maybe burning at the stake. And they're going to look at Brother Creston maybe. Say, what are you going to do, big boy? You going to place your faith? Is your faith really in Christ? Are you willing to confess it now? That's the reality of this thing. It may come. If you're not willing to confess it here, you definitely ain't going to do it there. Folks, are you willing to confess Christ? And then lastly, number 12 is, do you love God? Chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him. because He first loved us. Chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God. In other words, this is what it looks like when you love God. That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Do you love Him? Did what God did for you make you love Him? Did it change your opinion about Him? And these are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. And they're all straight from Scripture. I didn't try to embellish nothing, none of that. That's what God said. That's what God said. And He wants you to know that you're right with Him. And these are all questions you should ask. These are traits of true believers. And we also stand that we don't just have 1 John for assurance, right? That's just what we've been focusing on. That's what we're studying. But I'll stop right here for the day. I know that I'm well past time. I'm sorry. But I wanted to get through that. And next time we'll look at some other places in Scripture and know that you can know and why we can be assured. God wants you to be sure. And if you're not sure, get sure today. Make it right today. Get right with the Lord. Thank everybody for their good attention. And we'll have prayer for everybody down the hallways and in the fellowship hall there. Find people that's like you.